Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast presented by Justice Dental. Nick Roush here with Freddie Maggard, Drew Franklin, and Adam Luckett. And as we all expected, Drew Franklin came back, so the Cats figured out how to score some points. So thanks for coming back, Drew. We needed you.
I got to quit leaving. Every time I go somewhere, it all falls apart. That one's on me. I apologize, and we're moving on.
We are moving on, but we aren't completely moving on to Vandy. We're going to talk about Kentucky's 35-3 win over Akron. And really just the first 3 weeks of the season in general, because kind of wild to say out loud like it, because I don't know how much I've learned or what more I have learned about this team, but also we're a quarter of the way through the season. That's just kind of crazy to say out loud.
College football is a sprint, not a marathon. And yeah, I think overall everybody's just had a little fatigue because Kentucky hasn't played an SEC game yet or another power conference team. So people are just ready to get to that. And I think Kentucky overall, they handled their business in those first three games. There was some ugly football at times, but Saturday I thought was a pretty good performance, all things considered. There were just a couple things on offense that really kept it from being a huge day. So I think everybody, even the people within the program, are chomping at the bit to go and play in the SEC. And that gauntlet starts this week with eight consecutive SEC games, eight games in 9 weeks against SEC teams.
Yeah, and it's not exactly when you think SEC football. Freddie, I don't think you think of going into the construction zone next to the Nashville Windy, because it's not exactly the liveliest environment at 11 a.m. in the West End.
Yeah, I hate that place. It's not just the stadium that's under construction. It's the whole part of town. So, your
Crane
car
City.
The car thing that talks to you, don't trust it. Get there early. Get there on Thursday, because it may take you that long to get to that beautiful stadium, whatever it's called.
Wasn't there a slight change of heart at the fun we had at House Hotel?
House Hotel was great. Nashville grew on me. The traffic did not. But that stadium is not really Nashville to me. That's Vanderbilt. Totally different.
The fact
that I had a lot of difficulty with the Marriott over there canceling my room kind of added to my frustration. So I'm out.
Question, Freddie. Do we think there are more cranes in the city of Nashville or touchdowns thrown by Devin Leary this fall?
Definitely. Ooh, this fall.
This fall.
I thought you were just talking about Saturday. I'm going to go cranes in Nashville.
Because, I mean, there's got to be at least 50.
At least.
If I said passing yards on Saturday, would you lean Devin Leary? It's not a very good pass defense on the Commodores.
Yes, I go Leary there. So, yeah, I would take Leary over pass yard with the things, yes.
They do have two cranes in the stadium holding up the scoreboard. The Vanderbilt jokes, they write themselves. But we don't need to spend all of our time making fun of Vanderbilt. The Commodores did beat Kentucky a year ago. But last I checked, Mike Riott ain't walking through that door. And Ray Davis, he's going to be playing in the game Saturday, but for the good guys. So, I get the sense that even though they still have some dudes at wide receiver on that team, Mark Stoops is happy that the roster does not have the two guys that really ticked him off last fall at Kroger Field.
Yeah, Mike Wright's kind of been a pain in the rear when they've played him, and they're probably going to see him when they go to Starkville this year.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger stinks. Hell, touchdown in his first game, or first pass.
Even then, they're using him as a Wildcat quarterback, so they're going to see him regardless when they go down there. But last year, when you kind of look at the game, Mike Wright and Ray Davis is what beat them. Two of their touchdown drives were set up by a long touchdown run for Wright to start the game, and then a long, almost touchdown run for Davis, got him down inside the five. From right around midfield. So they were kind of the engine for Vandy that day. And one of them is in Starkville and the other one is playing for Kentucky. And I don't know about you guys, but he is – I didn't know he had the giddy up in the open field that he's shown early in the season, and kind of his change of direction in space, something I didn't know he had. And then as a pass catcher, the value he's bringing, he's been a do it all back for Kentucky, and he's, I think, really had a good year to this point, about as good as you can ask for someone to come in. I mean, he's really been a nice development, I think, for them. And he's given them some burst at the tailback position that they really haven't had in the last few years. Like Chris Rodriguez was great, but he wasn't creating some of the explosive plays that we're seeing from Ray Davis. We'll see if it goes into SEC play. But right now their pass game's explosive and the run game's explosive. They need to work on the efficiency, but this is setting up to be one of the more explosive offenses we've seen under Stoops, and that's kind of a change. It's really been more efficiency over explosiveness, but this team's might just be different.
I remember talking about this after the first week, like so much for running back by committee approach, because I mean, there's really not a good excuse to take Ray out of the game at this point. Like, what do you, he's done it all, right? Like, not only is he running the football with creating explosives, he's doing it the screen on the first play of the game. But he's also pass blocking well too. So it's like, why would you use some other guy when Ray can do it both and you're not just kind of giving anything away? So I don't know about you, Drew, but I didn't expect that. I thought we were just getting some big meathead that could like grind out 3 or 4 yards. It turns out he was just doing that because Vandy couldn't open holes for him, and that's how he had to get 3 and 4 yards.
Yeah, with his kind of got some size to him, I didn't expect this side-to-side Lynn Bowden type runs where he's running 200 yards to get 100 like he did in this last game. But you say not going by committee, and I don't think they will, but I did like the three runs Juton McClain gave them, and I was really surprised by I'm going to try Demi Sumo Kongbe. Is that right?
Yeah, almost. Kongbe.
You don't really have to say the G.
Carnbe?
Like Carnbe. Okay. Demi Sumo Carnbe.
I'll work on it.
Yeah.
Little bit of an unsung under the radar hero on my list there at the end of the game. I know it was in mop up minutes, but I enjoyed seeing him get some work out of the running back position too.
Well, you were probably smiling ear to ear from that last touchdown that got Kentucky to cover the spread. And that smile, it's a great looking smile, Drew, because you went to Justice Dental. Proud sponsors of the KSR Football Podcast. Week. Really? Do you do the thing where you talk while they're like working on your mouth and it's like, ha 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 ha?
You know, sometimes Doc Thompson will ask me about, you know, Kentucky's football team while I've got 5 different pieces of equipment in my mouth. But then, you know, it's pretty relaxing there. I watch my HGTV and go through the beautiful things they do.
And whatever you need to do, Justice Dental can take care of it. They are your one-stop shop for all your dental needs, whether you just need a cleaning or you want a full mouth restoration with dental implants, veneers, whatever it may be, Justice Dental, they will take care of you. JusticeDental.com. Schedule an appointment today. 2 convenient locations, one on Blazer, one on Wellington. And we're cooking up. I think we might be taking the podcast on the road, not this Monday, but or what was that, 2 weeks from today? So we're cooking that up. We'll make an official announcement once it's official. But we will not be doing the podcast from a dentist chair. I would like to see. I don't know if it's legal or not, but it would be fun if we could get just like give Freddie a shot of the laughing gas and then have him tell us the punter stats.
I'm all in. Talking about the running backs. 1, 2, 3, 4 Kentucky running backs. All 4 averaged over 6 yards per carry. As a group, right at 10 yards per carry. So that's production right there from the running back position. But I am totally volunteering for the gas and my cleaning for the year.
Yeah. I'm bad at math. But let's just – I'm going to do a quick – let's take out the bad yards. 33 negative yards. So that's 148 divided by 19. It's like what, 11 yards a carry by the running backs?
Yeah, I think it was right at 10 when I crunched the numbers on Sunday. Right at 10 yards per carry. I believe they had 19 for about 190. I'm looking it up right now. But, yeah, I mean, they was a really efficient day. I think as a group they were over 50% success rate. So anytime you're hitting over 50%, that's a really good day. So, yeah, I mean, like, I know there was concerns. We heard Mark Stoops talk about it, like them running the football. And I think there has been some efficiency. There's been a lot of like 1, 2 yard gains, but they've also hit some gashes. And so I've been pleasantly pleased with the running game to this point. I had a different expectation. I knew it was just going to look different. They're just not running vertically and mowing people down for 4, 5, 6, 7 yards at a time. It's going to be more some side to side zone runs, and then they're trying to hit gaps. And with that comes some explosive plays, but there are going to be some negative plays. But this is a running game, I think, that can produce some explosiveness, and it just kind of ties in, I think, overall what we're seeing from the offense. Even the passing game, it's maybe not the most efficient we've seen, but it's just really explosive, and that's just what this offense is. Now they just got to get these sophomore receivers going.
Yeah, yeah. Are Matt and Scott going at it in the chat, Drew? We got a little
– Yeah, man. It's pretty good war going already.
Is it getting ugly, or is it fun?
I mean,
right,
it's early in the night. You know, the podcast is young. Maybe by the end we'll be separating them.
Oh, like the people in the end zone the other night?
Yeah.
11 personnel this last week. The chat got lively. So I think those two guys, it might have been them in the concourse from 11 personnel, and now they're just moving on over here to the PSR football podcast chant.
Blame the beers.
I do love, though, that some of the people like, well, there goes the alcohol, because there weren't drunk people fighting any time before this season. That never happened in the history of Kroger Field, Commonwealth Stadium, where 50 years they invited guys from every era. Dougie Allen, hadn't heard that name in a while. That was a fun throwback. JoJo, Tim Couch. And they even had Barga, who caught the first touchdown ever at Commonwealth Stadium. That was a fun Corey Price fact. I did not know that Bruce Arians scored a different Barga?
No. Christy Thomas's dad, I think, scored the first touchdown in a JV game for Virginia Tech.
Oh. Ooh. They have JV?
They used to.
Already coming with the facts.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Jeopardy right there, baby.
But Bruce Arians was the Virginia Tech quarterback. He rushed for a touchdown in that game. Love that the architect was like trying to give advice to fans, like try to avoid Nicholsville Road. It's like, still like that still applies today. And I can't even imagine what it was like before they had the little lights. I mean, and another thing, what was that like when they first put those guys in? Were the lights changed every time? I mean, people still don't know how they work. That and the interchange at Harrodsburg and New Circle, like, I still think people are just like, whoa, what's going on here?
We're not great at traffic in Lexington.
No, and don't get peak started on traffic. If you want to get to see somebody fired up, mention Big Z and mention traffic, all right? You know?
What if Big Z was late to get on campus because of the traffic jam in Lexington?
NCAA tournament basketballs. That's his next
two. And he's got a trunk full of Wilson badges. I really want Steven to just like barge in and take over the podcast right now and just like hammer us all with it. Love you, Steven.
I can see the comments now. If you check people to the right of it as comments, you can see what they're saying.
Yeah.
Look there. Look who's here. Freddy's here.
Yeah. I'm in.
Tech in the house.
Before we get back to the action, we do need to bring something up. And Freddie, we let a lot of it out on last week's podcast when Drew wasn't here.
Yeah.
But Freddie, hey, you know, there's always going to be haters. You don't have to address them. You can let them just be haters. Haters going to hate. The potatoes going to potate. Just let them be. They're going to be out there. And, you know, you're just sharing facts. And I love to, when my favorite retort to any sort of like, here's just a good, fun stat to share that, like, I don't know, you can share them, but I always love, like, yeah, well, it's against the MAC. And it's like, I mean, but they played who they played. We're telling you what they did. But we don't have to let them get to us, Freddie. We don't have to let the haters get to us.
Yeah, you know, I had, 175 people tweet me and say, well, it's against whoever and whoever. And finally, I had enough, and I said I was today's whatever years old when I discovered that Kentucky played two MAC teams and an FCS team. You know, no kid. You think I don't freaking know that? You know what I mean? I mean, I got four sheets of crap here. Okay. So I with the defense, and again, you have to factor competition. Let's give people what they want. Kentucky's second in the SEC, 12th in the country at 11.3 points per game. That's pretty good. Rush defense, again, that's a very good number for Kentucky. 71 yards, 2.3 yards per carry, 282 total. Defense, other than third down, looks really good. Other than third down and passes defended, Kentucky's only defended 9, which is last in the SEC. Offensively, 36 points a game, we all know that, 5.6 yards per carry. With only 65 carries, Adam, that fits into what you said, 407 total yards, almost 8 yards per play, 50% on third down. Sacks, Kentucky's doing much better than it did last year defensively with 10 tackles for loss or 20 already, only had 53 last year. So if you look at this team on paper, it does not meet or match what I see with my eyes and feel with my gut, right? It just does not match up. But I get what Stoops says when he talks about the execution and what's keeping this team from dropping 50 on. And one thing that popped to me is we have a text going on during the game. There's too many second tens, right? I think that in today's era of name, image, and likeness and 85 free agents on a team, Kentucky's trying to force the ball to some players instead of getting the ball to the open receiver. I think that's got to stop. Whoever gets the ball and play team offense. And once Kentucky does that, clean up the snaps, that killed it. The offensive line has improved. The numbers say so, but my eyes say they struggle a little bit, but still only giving up a low amount of sacks, 3, which is second in the SEC, and 13 tackles for loss, which is third in the conference. So those offensive numbers to me look really good for the offensive line, but we all see with our eyes that they've got to clean a lot of stuff up with the penalties and missed assignments, miscommunication. But one thing I am encouraged about, and I'm sorry I've gone on so long, the errors that have been made by Kentucky have been with full effort that I did not see last year, right? I think this team plays much harder. I think this team cares more than last year's team. And I think this team has the juice that Mark Stoops wants. This has got to clean up that execution. Like with the Jordan Dingle fumble, great pass, great catch, great protection, gets stripped. All right, that was an effort turnover from Dingle. And I'll take that because he's just fighting for yards. But I think that play and then the hold with the 64-yard touchdown coming back kind of personifies or describes this Kentucky offense in 2 plays of the season.
One more stat, Freddie. Right now, Kentucky has outscored its opponents 107-34. That's pretty good. If it was 127-30, I think people might be a little bit happier. I don't know how much more happy they'd be, but it is stuff like getting a touchdown wiped off the board and then having the other team recover a fumble in your end zone where, I mean, like it wasn't just this game too. It's just the mistakes have been really big mistakes, not just little ones. They've been every single one of them has been big, and it's directly led to points taken off the scoreboard, stuff that every person with a pulse knows that you can't afford to get away with in SEC play.
Yeah, and there's been 2 situations where they've gotten a short field in field goal range and they didn't get points. One against EKU, Devin Leary threw the interception. And then one this week, they go 3 and out, delay a game, punt. Like, that stuff is just like, come on, guys. Like, got to get at least a first down here. At least get a better field goal range. Can't come away with nothing on the board right there. And then there's been some unfortunate turnovers. I think Leary's had some bad interception luck through 3 games this season. But I think, like Freddie mentioned, the sack numbers, you think it's higher. I think Leary has a lot to do with the sack numbers being what they are. He's escaped a bunch of bad situations. And that play he made on Saturday on the Davis, I haven't seen a quarterback make a play like that since Lorenzen wearing a Kentucky jersey in that stadium. I mean, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but that was a special play. And I think whenever you talk about Kentucky, like, you know who they are and what they're going to be on defense. And offensively, they're going to go as number 13 takes them. That's really going to kind of be this year. The O-line kind of is what it is. But he has shown that even with pressure, he can make stuff happen. He can deliver the ball vertically with touch and timing. The two throws he's made to Tavian Robinson in the end zone the last 2 weeks, you cannot throw a football any better than that on both of those throws. We've seen the flashes with him, and he at any point this offense can go 70 yards and play the band. Like, they can score at any point when they touch the football, and that makes them dangerous. And if they put it together, which is what I sense is some of the frustration with Liam Cohen and Mark Stoops, is they know they're just a little bit off, and if they can put it together, they can really be or really kind of have a special season. But they got to get everyone together, and they got to stop making silly mistakes like Jagger Burton, false starts and bad snap on first and goal, and holding wipes off a 72-yard touchdown or whatever it was. Those are the things they have to eliminate on offense. Jordan Dingle fumbles when it would have been a first and 10 in the red zone. Yeah, those are the things they have to eliminate.
Adam, let me add two more things here.
Add away.
The Kentucky, as far as allowed quarterback sacks, which is a huge problem in the SEC last year, right now, Kentucky's tied for first in the conference. Allowed tackles for loss, Kentucky's tied at third in the conference. So vast improvements, and I do agree with Adam. A lot of that has got to do with, I think, Leary's pocket mechanics presence, execution, awareness is much better than we've seen in a very long time at quarterback at Kentucky.
Freddie, you got some good news. Pick six for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're looking good. They're feeling good. I feel good when I'm rocking my Bird Dogs. Drew, I know you saw them today. I was rocking the Gabe Ruths. Like, they're pants that are nice, but they feel like sweatpants. And that's what I like about Bird Dogs, is I feel like I'm wearing not nice clothes, but they look nice. It's efficient. Look good, feel good, play good. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm wearing sweatpants, but it's like dress clothes. I love it. Love it. Also love the names of some of the pants here. Like, their white dress slacks are the Lee I Did a Lot of Cocas. That's good. That's good.
I noticed your Bird Dogs right away today. Your navy showing a little ankle there, a little athletic style, a little tapered. Yeah. I'm wearing Bird Dogs right now. I would show them off, but you know, it's
a little weird to just.
But I have mine on now.
Yeah, I'm seeing this take a lot. Stog Jack, I guess. Sorry if I mispronounced it. Those stats are better, but we haven't played any SEC D yet. I mean, yes, we know that. You can't judge them until they play them, but like this is still a projection, but it's not like this guy has never played high-level football before. Like,
BirdDogs.com/KSR.
There's a lot of criticism for
promo
the team.
Promo code KSR. Hydrofly Sulfides.
My bad. But that's just – that stuff keeps coming up, and I don't know what do you want them to do. This is just the schedule. I think a lot of people are getting schedule fatigue, but I don't understand it. Sorry. Bird Dogs.
Trust me.
We're Bird Dogs.
I get it.
People are uncomfortable with the Bird Dogs, but they're uncomfortable with the schedule to date, and they're excited to get into the meat of the schedule.
I get
like
it.
They're excited to get their Bird Dogs.
Yeah,
I get that, Adam, from Kentucky. The opening kickoff until the end of the game. And it's constant.
The funny thing is, too, Freddie, is like, how many SEC defenses have you gone out there and watched and like, oh, well, Kentucky can't score on them? Like, Alabama, they sure looked invincible on Saturday against USF, whole 17-3 barn burner. You know, like, Tennessee, gosh, they really put it on Florida. Or Graham Mertz, he was just lighting them up in that second half. Like, got to look around the league and kind of compare it to your peers. You got to look at everybody. I mean, this is college football. They aren't being perfect, but it is kind of fun to walk in and have these big blowouts where you're like, okay, they're playing well enough. It's still not great. I mean, even Georgia, which Georgia's been doing that all year where they play with their food in the first half. They come out in the second half. If Kentucky, well, let's put it this way. How do you feel about Kentucky if they're still playing like this throughout the season? Like, maybe instead of five bad mistakes, they cut it down to three. I don't know about you, but I still think Kentucky's going to win most of the games they play if they're still creating this many explosive plays on offense.
Kentucky is a flawed football team, but every team they play, no one's got a better quarterback than they have that I see on that schedule. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, Rattler's the best quarterback right now in the SEC. Like, he's like the most productive, and it's like, but you know, like
I will take that one. But tell me who's better than him, other than Rattler. Tell me, someone in the chat, tell me, please.
Yeah, I can't.
If
you have the better quarterback, you have a chance every Saturday. It's not rocket science. So, like, they can look like bad, but if they got the quarterback, like, they're gonna figure stuff out.
Yeah, the two guys too that people thought were going to be incredible, Jaden Daniels and KJ Jefferson. KJ Jefferson lost at home to BYU, and Jaden Daniels finally, like, he'd been kind of ho hum all year, and they just blitzed Mississippi State. Who that team might just stink. Like, they might be bad.
I chose Mississippi State. LSU is my Saturday viewing. Mississippi State looked terrible. It wasn't just Neighbors getting 200 yards in the second half. Rogers was missing throws. Clearly, that's Mike Leach's roster not built for the way they're playing right now. But I had that as a loss in my initial predictions. My schedule might get better now this part of the season after seeing them. They looked horrible.
Matt said, "Well, Jack Plummer. I mean, would you take Jack Plummer?"
He
completed like 9 passes for 250 yards. It was like the throw it to the one guy, and he runs 6. Yeah, just let Jamari Thrash do everything. Yeah,
but Mississippi State's a good point because
what's his name? Texas A&M.
The one thing Mississippi State had was a great play caller duo, right? Mike Leach, Zach Arnett. And they don't have that anymore. Zach Arnett's the head coach, and now they have a new offensive coordinator. But Kentucky, they still have, like, if you still believe in Cohen, like, before the year, if you were really excited about that, the first 3 games should change. You still have Brad White. Like, that's as good of a play caller duo. I get Nick is losing it over
Bill Deaton saying put Dante Allen. That got me. That really got me. Oh, yeah. Man. Chad, y'all killing it.
That's you. They have the quarterback, and they have a strong coordinator duo. That's going to get wins. So that's why I have confidence they're going to just figure stuff out.
Who's Dante Allen?
Exactly, Freddie.
He's a basketball player for Western Kentucky.
Never mind. I don't care.
Yeah.
That'll be – that's the new Reed – the old Reed Shepard, but Reed's probably not better.
Oh, man. To your point, I'm glad that we got – like, first off, whatever Cole Kubelik, I need his password, his login, to watch the, like, the down-the-line film, the end zone stuff. Oh, my gosh. Because that pass, like, you could feel it when Dingle just reached his hand out there. But then you see it in the seam, and, like, it's just like, shoom. I mean, just like, I don't know how Devin Leary does it some of the times. And it's fun to watch. You know, he's still not perfect. He was missing some guys at times. And, I mean, I forgot who it was that made a heck of a – it was one of Berrion's 2 catches. We can talk about the receivers now. We can talk about a couple of players that are struggling. But one catch that Berrion did have, I mean, was that a 3rd down too, Luckett, or 2nd and long that was – I mean, almost hit the turf, and he just snatched it right from the bottom. Yeah. That was an impressive catch.
Yeah, I don't – it's hard to know with some of the routes because you just can't see them, right? You go back and you just can't see them. So you know what's going on, and you don't know what the assignment is. But I thought Berrion did some good things. I thought he missed a lane on the kickoff return. I think if he keeps it up, hugged towards the hash, he's probably gone. But I thought he did some good things. But there's something going on with Key and Leary on where the stop or the cut's supposed to be. Where he's supposed to sit at. That's twice that's happened. It's both of them have been interceptions. And then on those in cuts, they are missing, whether it's an off throw or Dane not being exactly where he's going to be. But we saw it in the first game, Nick, in the red zone. They run the little rub for Keys wide open. Leary misses the throw. But they got to get on the same page. Whatever that is there, that's going to be really important, and they got to get on the same page.
Those should be automatic. Like, that's like, here's the 1st down play. Coverage is there. Yeah, like, this should be that's the expectation, right? Like, for Dane Key to be what Dane Key wants to be, him and Devin have to get on that same page. You know, some of it, really, at this point, it's probably just all in his head. I was 19 one time. I was an idiot. I was much dumber, much less mature than Dane. I had nothing figured out. I understand what it can be like to be young and struggling, and you're just feels like your wheels are spinning sometimes because you're trying, but just things aren't. It's just not working. Like, Except I just wasn't even trying. I just did. I would set my alarm and then just immediately turn it off. Like, dude, you are not going to this 8 a.m. class. Like, who am I kidding here? This is not going to happen. So, do I think it's doable for him to get over it? Sure. But, you know, Stoops was like, you know, we tried talking to him about it ahead of the season. You get a little bit of success. You know, sometimes you think you got it figured out. And the biggest thing that I've taken away just from the receivers that gave me a little pause before the season started was the quote that, hey, under Coach Cohen, you have to do things a certain way to play receiver here. Rich was just like, oh, get open, you know, like whatever the hell you want. Just go do it. Like they didn't have rules to follow. And it worked some of the time, but now, I mean, that was Cohen after the game is like, we run that route. It's a 15-yard comeback. We run it at 15. It's outside. Like, it's this one three-step, one hitch timing. Boom, it's there. It's out. And they aren't – like, that's not happening right now for whatever reason. That's something
if it doesn't, that – If it's not clicking this week, what? How big of a problem is it? You get a three-week pass because of the competition?
I think some of that too.
That's like, a big pass.
Yes,
I think for receivers, yes. there's also a. All right, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want because it's Akron. You know, like
it's go time. It's go.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I heard Stoops talk a little bit about it. I can't quote him, obviously, but I still think that the free agency thing is affecting the play call and affecting where the football's going. I mean, I just need to relax and run routes, and wherever the ball goes, it goes. You know, to me, it looks a little forced at times for certain players. And for a quarterback, that is incredibly frustrating. Incredibly frustrating because, well, Devin Leary is now getting paid to make the decision on where the football goes, right? That's his with name, image, and likeness. That's his job. So, and I think that can create bad habits for Leary. If they're saying, okay, we want to get the ball to Barry on this hitch. We want to do this, you know, on first down, we want to do this, you know, to get him some catches. It's not working, you know. So I think that can get with Leary a little bit. And with Dane, I think he's going to be just fine. He proved it last year. So did Barry on. I think they're going to be okay. Give him the 3-game pass and just let's start now, okay. You know, it's like NASCAR. Go get your own car and see how you run in traffic. That's what we're going to do this week against Vanderbilt, even though that pass defense is not very good.
No. Lightfoot Shaka Cumming said, though, that his
– I did too.
His whole mindset changed once he took that shot to the ribs, got the wind knocked out of him, and said, I got Jesus in that moment. Yeah. Thinking about life.
I think
without,
a lot of people at that stadium felt Jesus and Chili's at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Need him on the sideline. The other guy, another Frederick Doe, who struggled, Jagger Burton. Because the thing was, after the game, those coaches had some strong remarks. You know, Cohen basically saying, like, we're not going to force anybody the ball anymore. We're running the plays. If you do your job, you're getting the ball. You know, Stoops kind of walked him back where he was like, we're going to try everybody. When, you know, asking if they would try Evi Cox. But I think also when they went back and watched that, I mean, Jagger had like 3 really dumb moves, but for the most part, like he's not – look, and you watched it much more with a critical eye than me. Like I don't think he's out there costing this team a lot. It was just 3 very costly mistakes.
Yeah, but they were critical.
Like he's not tripping over his feet every play, but you know it.
When Kentucky plays Florida at home, or even this weekend on the road, or any SEC, they cannot have a first and goal and snap it over the quarterback's head. You just can't have that. Bottom line, you cannot have like the holding call is very much an awareness play. You're blocking a nose guard who can't really run. If the quarterback's out of the pocket, don't even risk it. Just get your hand back and run with him and then hit him on his way. Like, there's no reason to grab and risk a holding call. You can't do that right there. And so that happened. And then, through 3 weeks, there's been some false starts that looked like the center was supposed to snap the ball and the ball didn't come out. Now, I don't know what's going on. It's just what I've seen and what I've kind of sensed.
You don't know?
I don't know. I know your name. I don't know snap counts, believe it or not.
You don't have the headset on up there?
And then they showed Cohen on the TV broadcast after one of them, and he was yelling obscenities. It looked like
Freddie. Did you ever have one of those headsets on?
No. They didn't let us have headsets on.
Oh man, I'd love to know. I'd love to just listen.
You mean like 2018 or like when I played?
Oh, like 2018 when Vince and Mark are having.
Man, there's strict rules about that. I don't know if people know that. You're only allowed to have so many that can talk.
Uh-huh.
Then you're given, I think, two or three
that can listen.
That can listen only, that can't talk. There's regulations on that. So you can't have, you know, I guess that's the Alabama rule. When you got 74 quality control coaches, you know, you can't have 74 things on your ears, right? So that's a competitive advantage these days, not the, you know, $1.5 million for 3 years for a 5-star defensive tackle. Oh, did I say that out loud? My bad.
Yeah, but back to your point, Nick. When Jagger, after he snaps the ball, I think he's playing well.
Yeah.
Snapping has been an issue. And then some of the pre-snap stuff. That just got to get cleaned up, though. But I think it's very much kind of – they're in a short leash situation right now where it's kind of now or never. I would assume at least.
Well, it's like, hey, all right, we did the three games. Now it's – let's go. It's go time. We need you. Yeah, those are critical positions, both Jagger and Dane. And now it's like, all right, well, you got to play better. You do. Even though it's just Vanderbilt and it is an SEC road trip. An SEC road trip, we'd love to see the BBN pack the stadium. And you can do that if you go to gametime.co or download the Game Time app. Use promo code KSR for your first purchase. It's the fastest, best way to get last-minute ticket deals to anywhere. So if you're down in Nashville for the Cats game, it's a noon kickoff. I don't know who's playing at the Ryman or if there's a concert at Bridgestone, but you can just pull that app up, scrolling down, find your seats, two taps, boom, done. Tickets on your phone, just like that. And they even run flash sales on a lot of those. So, you know, jump. I had a very, like, it was very fun because spur of the moment, friend hits me up on a Thursday, says, I got some tickets to Bourbon and Beyond. Want to come? It's like, yeah. I never – that feeling, that adrenaline rush, it was incredible. It was amazing. You can get that, too, if you download the Game Time app. Promo code KSR for $20 off your first purchase with the fastest, best way to get tickets to watch the Wildcats. I don't think they could have printed enough tickets – on Game Time to get any more people in at Corbin last Friday night, Drew. Like that was something.
I had Freddie Maggard in the Kroger Game of the Week media pass. If not for that, I don't think I would have made it because it seems they were sold out long before I even got in town. The parking lot was full before I even got to Corbin. Freddie compared it to Green Bay, and I finally got to see what he's talking about, how that whole town just shuts down for football. We had a really fun experience there. And then, of course, it ended with the two big commitments from the Twins. So that was a heck of a night last Friday. Freddie, I know you had fun.
Freddie, yeah. I like the glasses, too. You pulled out your inner coach prime.
I did, yeah. I did. I had a headache. That's why I had them on. Then I thought it would look cool with the video because Drew always looks good. And I look not good, but
you should steer into it. Just Coach Bromit. Yeah,
well, they're Shady Rays, and that's a non-paid endorsement.
If they want to endorse us, though, we'll endorse
I'll take it. Trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the deal. I knew it was a big game because I got there Thursday evening. They sold 1,000 tickets to the game. They sold season tickets, and they sold 1,000 T-shirts. And then I talked to the AD. He said, be here at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I was back at the stadium at 6 a.m., and they had a sunrise pep rally where they gave all 900 students a T-shirt because it was a whiteout. And they had this big thing. And then, you know, next thing I know, I'm giving passes to everybody, and it's game time. But when I knew it was a big game, it wasn't because I got to the stadium 90 minutes prior and there wasn't a seat in the house. And Drew, am I right? I mean, it was completely packed. The national anthem singer was Drew's buddy.
Marlena Van Hoos.
Yeah, so wow. I knew it was a big one then, yeah. And then
They had the fireworks too.
Fireworks before the game.
Was that an accident or were they just that excited?
Just that excited. And the number of college coaches there, as people can take with that. And then the Twins. I mean, they're impressive on film, but until you see them in person and see how tall and long and powerful and twitchy they are, it really film doesn't do it justice. I don't think, right, Drew? I mean, they just pop. That's how good they are. And then the flip afterwards. But the game was great. You know, every other game in Kentucky now is 58-55 or something like that. This was a good old-fashioned defensive fist fight for however long the game is.
Literally.
And Douglas had it on the goal line with no time running out. And Corbin held. It was a great experience. The stadium is beautiful. And like I told Drew, if you've seen pictures and videos of it, like I sent you guys, that's just phase one. They've not even started phase two of that thing yet. So they're going to add more to it. But it was a great weekend, the Kroger KSR Game of the Week. For this week, the number two team in the state, which is Corbin, we're going to go see the number one team in the state on Friday, which is Boyle County hosting Lexington Catholic. Man.
And this, I know for a while it was Boyle-Danville, but – these two teams playing, I mean, there was a time, I mean, lucky when we were in high school, it was whoever won that game was probably going to go to the state championship and had a good chance to win it. I had a lot of friends who were not Boyle County fans.
It was back in the 2A days when there was four classes, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A.
Oh, well, I'm not that old. All right, yeah.
I remember that those days. That's how old I am. What were they when they first went six? Were they both four?
They were both four, yeah. Yeah.
They used to be too.
I believe so. I don't know. It's hard getting them. My first year of varsity football, though, was the first year of six classes. Ty Scroggins was on the front page of the CJ doing like back to class. And it was, I remember that vividly, that photo shoot. But Boyle County, Wexcath, tempers will be flaring, I'm sure. There's maybe not the Smith Twins talent there. But there is a lot of good ball players in that game, so we'll be excited there. But quickly, Luckett, I want you to share your take on the films of Jacob and Jared, where I'm still it's taking me some time, but I think I've got it down where Jacob's the edge, Jared's the defensive lineman. And the thing too, watching Big Deion getting a five technique and a 2-point stance, and then having Noah Matthews go down and rush the passer as like a defensive tackle. They might have positions, but I think either of them can line up at a lot of different spots and kind of just raise some hell on that defensive line.
Yeah, Gerard Smith is kind of a 3-4 defensive end. He's really explosive, twitchy. He's got athleticism to kind of run the hoop a little bit. I think you could slide him in and be a really productive interior rusher as a 3 technique. In pass rushing, he wins quickly, quick winner at the point of attack. I really like his game. I think he's a guy who's going to find a way to factor in the rotation next year, Kentucky's defensive line. Then you're going to go out to Jacob. Jacob Smith's tall, long, athletic, can play in space, shows good situational awareness and movement ability. That I think of him more kind of think of how Kentucky played Jordan Wright, kind of playing into the field, really had value as a zone defender. Because he's long and covering a lot of ground, and then has some pass rush potential due to his athleticism and length. And he's a guy I think could factor in pretty soon out there for in Brad White's position room. Both these guys, I would project to play as true freshmen and have a chance to be multi-year starters here and be really productive players. Back to Gerard, I don't think – you never want to compare someone to I'm not saying he's going to be Josh Pascal, but he has some of their play traits are similar. Can shoot gaps, quick winner, plays with a high motor, and is physical as all get out. And so I really like him as a player. I think weight's going to be the big thing for him. What weight can he get up to? But I really like his potential, specifically pass rush. I think he could really provide some extra pass rush for Kentucky. And both players are very instinctual, very smart football players. And so that's going to allow them, I think, to have some success early in their career. So all that be said, huge recruiting win for Vince Merrill. Getting these kids flipped from Michigan, it's a big deal, especially when you consider the head-to-head battles Michigan and Kentucky have had some of the recent cycles, getting these guys is a big deal.
No, it certainly is, and it might be getting richer. Devin Smith, he's announcing his decision this Friday. Kentucky or LSU, and Zach Gagan was one of few people to submit an on-three RPM pick for Kentucky to land another commitment who, I mean, he had a finalist list of just a murderer's row of SEC teams. Could be a quality player. This front seven's looking stout in this 2024 recruiting class. Gosh, still sounds weird to say 2024 recruiting class out loud. But yeah, future is looking very bright. I was going to check the site, see if we missed anything. Is site still down? What is this? 2007?
Still down. Yeah, are we hacked
this
again?
This is weird. What? Who was it? Was it Russia that tried to take us down that one time?
Might have been France. Somebody. Oh, we're still considering going to war over it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was back when the website would crash every other month, I would say.
It was fun when it was like, all right, the day Patino got fired, I just kept hitting refresh, trying to like hit the publish button, and then you're like, whew, I got the publish button in. I got the publish in. It was that was a wild day.
We've grown up so much since then, except for right now when it's not working.
Is the board working? It'll be working soon. We got
YouTube's working. We got
Tyler said it was, YouTube. But I haven't. I think the app's working. Oh. So if you want to get on the app, that may be the way to go.
And Zach has something on 4-star edge, Amari Williams.
Yeah, everybody on here better be following our X account too. Are we calling it X? Are we
finally X gonna give it to you?
Is it X? Is that what we're doing?
Sure. Or no, we call it Twitter, but like it's at KSR on X. So that
I've slowly started calling it X. I'm caving in to Elon.
But the board is popping. So if you haven't done it, like, come on. Especially the game. I mean, we're having a lot of fun with it. I think you'll have fun as well. You'll know some things before anybody else, and you just get to hang out and chat with us when we're, you know, sweating out bets. Like it. I think I lost 8 bets in a row, and then I won 4 in a row. But our guy Andy Staples, he did the impossible. He went 0-8. Was it 7?
I hit an 0-6 last year, so I feel him on that.
I think it's harder to do that than to go 7-0. I mean, that's impressive. So shout out to you, Andy. But we're having a good time over there. I'm going to be on the board all night talking about the Steelers. Got to get this rivalry win over the Browns. Fun stuff happening. You can get $1 for a month or 50% off whenever. And we might have a flash sale when the Cats play Florida. So if you're thinking about joining KSR Plus, maybe you do it next week. Just some food for thought. Do we have any parting thoughts? Freddie, is there anything on your mind? I love that somebody in the chat said you look like a disappointing father right now. And another person said that Luckett is starting to morph into Freddie. So
a disappointing or a disappointed?
That. Disappointed father.
I'll start saying that's a little personal, whoever said that. If you call me a disappointing father, I take a lot of pride in that. Come on, man. Back to the Corbin. You know, I've talked about Eli Petrosky, and you said 2024 is hard to say. He's a 2026 tight end, 6'4", 210. Like his fluidity. I like his size, his length. So he has, Adam, he's got some Caddis in him, man. He is a physical blocker. I mean, he really is. You know, for Kentucky, you know, with me, with Dane and Jagger, first time I met Jagger Burton was in Nashville, ironically, when Kentucky lost to Western in Stoops' first game. I went with the Burtons and I went to Crawfords, and we all went and stayed at the Gatlinburg, not the Gatlinburg, but the Dollywood, you know what I'm talking about? The
Opryland.
Yeah. Opryland.
Yeah.
Jagger, hell on earth.
Jagger was a snotty-nosed little 9-year-old I had to watch when his dad went up to the room, and I was like, I ain't babysitting. That's Jagger. First time I met Jagger Burton. With Dane, Dante was a teammate of mine. I've seen Dane grow up. So I know what they're made of. I know how they're – well, I don't know how they were made, but I know who made them, right? So that's why I have full faith in both of them. And that's why I think they're going to if they are in a little funk right now, they're going to come out of it. But that's my background with those folks, you know, as I, you know, I've known them since they were little bitty. And got a lot of faith in them and their families. Okay. Well, am I allowed to say that? Or go,
yeah,
go University of where I'm, my home state. Can I say that, Drew?
Yeah, you can say that.
Hold on. Do I have to get that sawed off my arm?
Is that illegal? No. You just can't put it on a helmet.
We're still helmet. Working through. Still working through logos.
Oh, I thought I was about to saw my arm off. So am I good, Drew?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
But if anybody would saw their arm off for Kentucky football, it's you.
Yeah, and I will say, like, to your point, and I probably didn't say it so eloquently earlier, but who amongst us hasn't been in a funk? I think that's just, you know, some early season blues, and some of it you kind of expect from some young players who are, man, they're in the middle of it right now. And so this is part of learning. This is part of growth. Will the Cats be able to grow, push through at Vanderbilt against Clark Lee? We're going to talk about that more on Wednesday on 11 Personnel, and then we'll have another Pigskin preview ready for you this Friday. Appreciate y'all tuning into those, sharing our picks. That's a lot of fun, and I've got more props to use. Fortunate that I did start winning some games because the props were going to get uglier. So happy to roll out some of that this fall.
I'm fortunate. I'm very, very blessed to hear that.
Oh, and our viewers and listeners are too. But this has been a lot of fun. It's time to go watch some Monday Night Football. Go Cats and go Kroger.